To the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. It is a Sunday night. I just got back from Texas about an hour ago. It is kind of late and my voice is still not exactly where I would like it to be. So this is going to be a little bit shorter of a podcast. It is a mailbag. So that means I will be using 2 days to get to all of your questions that you have left over the course of the last week. I want to apologize for not having a show last Friday. My voice was just shot for whatever reason. So when you go out, those of you who have ever been to El Paso, that's where most of my family is. And basically everybody there, so right now it's June, it was about 90, between 90 and 95 the whole week I was there. And you go outside and it is really, really hot. And then you go inside and everybody is blasting their ACs. You sleep overnight and they're blasting their ACs. And then it's super dusty because it hasn't rained there in quite some time. It's been really windy there. So there's just all kinds of stuff all over the place. Basically, my sinuses were not thrilled with this last trip. So long story short, I was not good to record. You would not have wanted to hear my voice in the state it was in Thursday when I would have been recording for Friday's show. I was also with family mourning the loss of a my tio Oscar. To all my family out there, you've told me you're going to listen, so just in case you are, we'll all get through this together. But I thought it was important to be with family. I also sounded really bad, so I just figured I would take the rare day off. That was my first missed show in quite some time, though. And I'm hoping it'll be my last missed show for quite some time. And because I missed a show, I now owe you guys one moving forward when we get into the crazy news cycles. And you know it'll happen. I'll record on a Saturday or a show for a Saturday if the Lakers do the next crazy dumb thing. But yeah, I apologize. I did not have that show for you guys on Friday. And I'll make it up to you moving forward. Let's go ahead and get to these questions, though. By the way, today's show is brought to you by Grip 6 Belts, Hotels.com, and Untuckit.com. And then if you're looking for a podcast platform, check out Himalaya. More on all of those great companies here in a bit. Start with LA1056 asking about Kawhi Leonard and whether this run to the finals is going to affect the Lakers' chances at him. And of course they will, right? Have you seen those Toronto crowds? It's just millions of people that are just beside themselves with the amount of success that he's helped them attain. Of course it's going to affect it. It's just all a matter of what he prioritizes, right? If he finds it the most important to him to be surrounded by family, then he'll come home to LA. If it's the most important thing to him to compete and win titles, then he'll think of all the other teams that might be better than the Lakers. If he wants to come to the Lakers and be seen as a savior, not just for the Lakers, but by the way, LeBron, right? That's something that is definitely going to be enticing to him. So, yeah, of course, this run to the finals and competing with the Warriors the way that the Raptors currently are is going to affect his decision-making process. It's just how much that affects it and how made up his mind was before he went up to or before he was traded to Toronto, which, you know, this is Paul George. One of the things that he said in that lame documentary that he had was, well, I the Lakers didn't trade for me. The Oklahoma City Thunder did trade for me. I saw that as a commitment, and then I wanted to run it back and be alongside Russ for longer than a year, or whatever his explanation was when he signed, wound up re-signing out there in Oklahoma City. It might mean something to these guys that Toronto to in this case Kawhi Leonard that Toronto gave up something for him in that stretch where he was so frustrated he was willing to sit out a full season with the San Antonio Spurs. The Lakers, now, if I were the Lakers, my retort would be, hey, we would have offered anything to get you, but the Spurs were just not interested in sending you here, right? And, we've already seen it with Greg Popovich reportedly telling, friends of his not to work with the Lakers, friends of his who were executives telling Del Demps not to send, do whatever he can to not send Anthony Davis to the Lakers, right? Like, we know that there's a bitterness there from Pop and the rest of that organization towards the Lakers. Of course, that was made more difficult. That made things more difficult for the Lakers. So that would be their retort if he was to ask that kind of a question too. So we'll see how the rest of the series goes. If he wins the title there in Toronto, things get really interesting, right? If he wins the title, which, by the way, it's wild that we're talking about that if, right? That hypothetical, given what we thought about Golden State heading into the season and also heading into this series. But if they win a title, could Kawhi say, hey guys, I brought you a title, I now want to pursue other things? Or if he wins a title, he could say, hey, this run was magical, this was incredible, I want to see if we could run it back next year, right? And move forward that way. So we'll see how things go, but it's going to have an effect. Let's go Big J 23234567 8. Supermax / Beal question. This person writes in basically, and for both of these, they were longer questions, so I'm paraphrasing. But given Beal's contract, that he's not a supermax type player, and given that he was always going to cost less in a trade than Anthony Davis, does it make more sense to trade for Bradley Beal? So, I get it. I kind of get the concept, right? It's bang for the buck. You're going to have to give up a whole bunch to get Anthony Davis. And is Anthony Davis so much better than Bradley Beal that the additional assets you send over for Anthony Davis, is Bradley Beal, or is Anthony Davis worth Bradley Beal and, say, like Lonzo Ball, right? Or is Anthony Davis worth Bradley Beal and Brandon Ingram? I would probably argue yes, just because I'm just that high on Anthony Davis. I think he's insanely good. And the other thing too is, Bradley Beal's he's going to eliminate some of the other things that you're going to be able to do. And so they brought up him not being qualified for the Supermax because he didn't make an All-NBA team this year. I actually think that means that he would cost more than he would had he had hit that Supermax contract and then been paid as such. Washington's books are so fried. They're so torched that they're going to be trying to get out from any money that they possibly can. For the intents and purposes of this conversation, I kind of sort of think that I would rather go for Anthony Davis and the sure younger player and kind of, even if it costs Brandon Ingram or Lonzo, even if it costs, say, Kyle Kuzma or Josh Hart, compared to what it would cost to land Bradley Beal. Now, if the gap is so insane that it's just like, hey, we will send you Kyle Kuzma in the number 4 pick and you can get Bradley Beal and you can keep both Lonzo and Ingram, then okay, fine. Like, then it's worth having that conversation. But if it's just one of Lonzo and Ingram and that's the gap here between Anthony Davis and Bradley Beal, I think I would still rather go Anthony Davis. Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to get back to your questions. All right, Arete32 writes, If the Lakers sign a max player this summer, is there any way to resign Brandon Ingram next summer? If they have B.I.'s bird rights, can't they just go over the cap to resign him? Yep, that's exactly it. They can go over the cap to re-sign Brandon Ingram, and that's what makes this offseason so critical, is that so if they get a superstar this year, you can now extend Brandon next year or re-sign him or whatever next year. If they don't get somebody this year, it's then going to probably, and they want a free agent next year, say Anthony Davis, right? If Davis becomes a free agent and you then want to just land Anthony Davis in free agency, well, you're still, in essence, giving up Brandon Ingram because you would have to renounce him and his cap hold to be able to sign Anthony Davis. So it's a complicated thing here, and this is why timing matters so much. And the other thing, too, is, like, yeah, you could, theoretically, you could wait this season out and potentially sign Anthony Davis next year, say if he gets traded somewhere else or whatever. If under that circumstance, you are then you're going to do what? You're going to sign a bunch of guys to 1 year contracts again. You're going to waste another year of LeBron James' career, and you will have risked half of your time, potentially even more than half of your time with LeBron, right? Because he could opt out after the year after next year. So you're then willing to risk 2/3 potentially of the time that LeBron committed to playing for the Lakers to building through free agency, and that's just a risk I'm not really willing to take. Not just from the standpoint of that being a risk, but also from the standpoint of, like, where's the culture? Where's the organizational culture that we were told Magic and Pelinka were going to bring? Now Magic is gone, but Pelinka has done all these things with this genius talks, right, in trying to instill some type of culture with the Lakers. But if the culture is, no, none of you matter, we're going to keep just supplanting you and replacing you with guys who are on their 1 year deal so that we have a chance at some big fish down the line that might never actually come. That's just the Knicks. That's Knicks West. And I don't want anything to do with Knicks West. I don't want anything to do with any kind of Knicks comparison at all. Next question comes from Bruin Writer 78. This isn't so much a question. Well, all right. So There's a paragraph here, a graph basically about the back and forth that Matt Moore and I had. I actually had a lot of fun with it. It got kind of real. It was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Go check that out. That was from a couple weeks ago now, the end of last week. But the actual question here is, which adjective would you use to describe Moore's analysis of the team's potential if Lonzo, LeBron, and Hart were healthy the whole season? Ignorant, absurd, or trollish? I don't think it's any of those things. Look, Matt, if anything, he kind of overthinks, right? And I really like that about him. It's the opposite of me. I tend to roll with the first inclination, and then, you know, if my first inclination is so asinine, I go back and I rethink, okay, how was I so wrong that last time? But I don't, more, Matt isn't trolling anybody with his Lakers takes. And when he is trolling, it's very obvious that he is. Was it absurd? I guess that's the closest word of the three he used here, right? I don't think he's ignorant. I think he's very well educated on everything throughout the NBA. But if you know, in terms of just what's the closest word I would associate with his analysis of the Lakers, is probably absurd. But even that, it's just such an exaggeration. I think, you know, do I agree with it? No, right? Do I agree that? With his assertment that the Lakers were always going to be kind of sort of screwed? No, I don't. But I also, though, wouldn't go so far. You know, if I was to call his analysis of the Lakers absurd, that would mean that I would then think that the Lakers were title contenders, right? Like if he thinks that the Lakers basically were what they were, and my account of that is to say it's absurd, well, then that would mean that I would by extension or inherently think that, yeah, the Lakers were way better than that. And if they're way better than they were, then how far are we going here? Right. And I don't think the Lakers, I think they were a hugely flawed team, as we've said throughout the year. I kind of think, so I was thinking about this quite a bit. I took a little break from Twitter, and one of the things that I kind of noticed in times where I was listening to my, you know, listening to family talk about the Lakers, because, you know, they all know what I do, and they all had, you know, everybody, when you hear somebody talks about sports, if I go to a bar, you know, any kind of a bar, or if I'm in an Uber, and somebody asks me what I do, and I say that, then, you know, I immediately get Lakers takes or sports takes, right? NBA takes. And one of the things that I noticed was, you know, I would hear some of the things that the criticisms that I levy against the Lakers, and I would kind of, well, I would retort with stuff, and I caught myself doing that, and it really felt like those of you who have siblings, right, especially younger ones, you spend a good chunk of your life talking crap to your younger sibling, right? And you needle them here and there, and you give them dead arms and whatever it is, like, you just stuff that, for me, I had two younger brothers. I have two younger brothers, but I grew up giving them hell, right? I still give them hell. But if I was to hear somebody saying the things about Andrew or Alex that I said about Andrew or Alex when I was a kid, I would take a problem with it, right? Like, I can say stuff like that about Andrew or Alex, but kick rocks, man. You're not going to say that stuff about my brother. You're not going to talk shit on my blood, right? And I kind of feel like we do that with the Lakers, where, you know, we've spent how long now? A couple months just ragging on this team. And then when somebody else criticizes them, you go like, no, whoa. I say that about the Lakers. You don't get to say that about the Lakers. And I kind of think that's where we're at with not just Matt, but with anybody who we deem an outsider in this respect. If you criticize the Lakers, if you, you know, speaking to you personally that are listening to this show, if you say some stuff with your friends about the Lakers, or you reply, you send me an iTunes review, and you criticize the Lakers, well, then that's fine. You and I have this back and forth throughout the year, and we're comfortable enough with us and our understanding of the Lakers to say some stuff about the Lakers. But if you hear an outsider talking crap on the Lakers, that's when my dog, when she gets all aggressive or whatever, if she barks, the hair on the back of her neck stands up, just like with any other dog. Same kind of thing here. You perk up a little bit. Those ears go back, and you say, "No, you don't get to say that. You aren't suffering through these Lakers. This is an A and B conversation. See your way out of it, right?" Or since I was around all my Mexican family, this is a taco and burrito conversation, nachos, right? It's terrible jokes. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on and send this to break with on that awful note. When I come back, I'm gonna keep on answering your questions. The next question here comes from, finally I have a question from Rio Lucas. Hi Anthony /Harrison/Pete at Prespendina here from Twitter. I've been thinking about the apocalyptical end of times horror that the Lakers are right now, and of all the failures and problems and every bad thing we have seen and read, how much of it do you think is due to a lack of good PR or no PR? And because as of right now, there's too much shit hitting the fan to be ignored. What would be a good mitigation of this issue? All the best. Keep up the good work, Luke Medina. First off, thank you very much for the Twitter stuff that we had, the conversations we had back and forth on Twitter. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. And then, you know, to everybody who are sending in questions, thank you for those questions. In terms of the PR, so one of the things that when I was doing PR, that we always, our approach to it was, public relations isn't just conflict resolution, right? It's not just getting you through crises and then walking away. The best way to actually handle PR is to get as many positive stories out there as possible so that you have goodwill coming back, right? And so for in the case of the Lakers, there aren't any positives. The goodwill has been used up, right? The goodwill, it's wild how quickly this goodwill went away, but all the goodwill that came with hiring Magic Johnson, and then Magic Johnson leading in some way, shape, or form to signing LeBron James, and then, you know, having the goodwill of those things coming together and what seemed like the positive direction of the Lakers, all that's gone, right? They've used it all up. So what you have now is a fan base that's really frustrated with very little actual positive stuff to actually point to. And you know, some of the actual positive stuff, in this case hiring Frank Vogel, in a vacuum, that's a good hire. He's a pretty good coach. I would probably call him closer to mediocre than good, but whatever, you know, whatever. But because of the way he was hired, because of the process that went into it and the stuff that led up to even the process of hiring Frank Vogel, when he was introduced, it was a lot of, well, I guess he's there now, right? That's the Lakers coach now. And you get a lot, you got a lot of the whole, like, oh, well, Lakers ride or die. And my thing with that is, well, sure, like, if you want to be like that, then why, what's the incentive for the Lakers to be good for people who are just blindly following the Lakers, right? But in terms of the PR handling of all of this, look, as a PR, I guess, quote unquote, expert, where when I was working in that industry, a PR agent, a public relations agent, or a public relations representative is only as good as the client is willing to allow them to be. So I can, if I was to be hired by the Lakers and I was to lay out A, B, C, and D about, all right, how we're going to get through this, how we're going to get back some of that goodwill, all of those things, if they aren't willing to meet me halfway, then what am I supposed to do as a PR person, right? That's why, you know, I know a couple of the people who do PR there, and some of them have been very nice to me and very nice to the show. We've gotten a couple players on the show, and I've really appreciated that. That's why it's hard for me to really trash the Lakers PR here, because you don't really know what the Lakers are willing to, what the Lakers are willing to do, what Jeannie Buss is willing to do here, right? Because at some point, like, one of the first things I would say if I was in charge of PR for the Lakers and managing this crisis that they're in, I would tell her, like, hey, you have to hop on a podcast and the show that you are, or not even just a podcast, you could hop on ESPN. They're a corporate partner. They'll hold back. They'll pull a couple punches for you and do whatever they can to make you look like you know what you're doing here. I would probably prefer that she go on a show that isn't a very, very obvious corporate partner, and that those lines aren't, those dots aren't so easy to connect to see the kinds of questions that they're asked. But whatever, you know, I would have her in front of a camera and I would have her answer a few questions, explain what the hell is going on, and at least get something out there. And before that, though, I would make sure to get our story straight here, right? All right, Jeannie, what the hell actually is going on here? And if she isn't able to answer those questions, then it's smarter to keep her off the camera. Because if she can't answer those questions to me, if she can't be completely honest to me as we're trying to prep her for the type of interview that might set a few things straight here and there, then she's definitely going to get caught up by a non-corporate partner interviewer, right? That wouldn't end very well. And even if she would go on ESPN, right, then you would ask ESPN, hey, only softballs, please, whatever. But people at this point are looking for that. People, because it's ESPN, would be looking for the softball-type answers and softball-type questions. So, yeah, I don't know what all they could do because I don't know what all is actually being done. But I do know that there are, you know, a couple basic principles here that I don't think the Lakers are following. And I don't know if that's a matter of the PR people who are working with the Lakers or working, you know, that the Lakers employ, or if that's just a matter of the Lakers not handling this so well or taking the advice of the PR people that they employ. So impossible to say. Let's go a couple more questions here so that I can save enough for the next show. Let's go. Okay, all right, this is an easy one. Saul the Kid writes, what was your favorite jersey this year? Also, what former Laker do you think they base next year's City Edition jersey on? Is it Kurt Rambis with a laughing emoji? That's funny. That's a good joke. So my favorite jersey that they wore this year, I'm not going to count the Sunday Whites because that's just an easy answer. I actually didn't hate the purple jerseys, not the ones with the pinstripes. Those were hideous, right? And honestly, Magic, those being based on Magic and that being the worst jersey that the Lakers have ever worn, feels kind of fitting, doesn't it? I actually really liked the purple ones. Had this year not been such a disaster, I probably would have bought one of the purple ones. Maybe I can get it for cheaper. But I would probably have bought that jersey. And then in terms of which former player I would have them do their next City Edition on. I mean, personally, I would go back and do like George Mikan, you know, and bring back those Minneapolis blue ones. I just think that's such a clean look. I remember the Lakers at one point had, to one of the parades, Kobe wore like more of a royal blue jersey that had that's you know, instead of the Lakers across, it was a cursive Los Angeles across it. It looked so damn clean. And I remember in that year's NBA, or back then I was playing NBA Live because 2K was still trying to take hold, but that was one of the options, and I always changed those jerseys. I almost never went with the regular purple or gold jerseys, and that was just such a clean look. So whatever it takes to get it back to that, maybe Jerry West would help in that respect too. I mean, you could do Kareem, right, and highlight the Showtime a little bit more than they did this last year with the Magic ones. I think now that, you know, Shaq has his statue up there, I would maybe you could consider Shaq and you could really bring back the, because I always really liked the three-peat uniforms, maybe not the V-neck aspect of it. I wasn't really thrilled about that, but I liked that they looked kind of modern, and I enjoyed that about that. So anything along those lines. And the nice thing about Shaq is he's going to go for a big personality, but he's also kind of, he can be kind of conscious. He's very brand conscious. So, you know, I don't think it would be such a disaster as we saw with Magic in those abominations with pinstripes that we saw last year. Thanks for the questions, everybody. Thank everybody for tuning in. As always, I hugely, hugely appreciate it. This last week has been really tough between Pete getting sick and losing a family member the way that I did, and then, you know, having to fly out there and flying last minute is always ridiculously expensive, and I was able to do that, not take such a huge hit because of all of the support you guys have given me. I'm forever grateful for that. I was able to get away and go visit Pete while he was in the hospital because of the flexible schedule that this job allows me to have and to hold. And again, I'm able to do that because of all of the support that you guys have given me in the show. Seeing Pete actually sent me a text and said that he saw a lot of people were mentioning Locked On Lakers when they were trying to donate and help him out with what I'm sure is an astronomical amount in medical bills. And look, also, I want to thank UCLA, the med team over there, for getting Pete through that. It was a challenging week, but it's weeks like that, it's moments like that, it's stretches like that where you really recognize who matters and how blessed you are that you're able to deal with it as blows like that come one after another. So thank you guys very much for that. I will talk to you guys again tomorrow when I open up the mailbag, unless the Lakers do the next dumb thing. But thank you guys very much for all the support. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, and have a good one.